9 days ago, we celebrated veterans. We honored them because they are a group of people that were willing to sacrifice. They, at the very least, they sacrificed control over their lives. They sacrificed time with their family. But they were also willing to sacrifice even their own life to protect and provide for our country. And their sacrifice is a blessing to all of us. And so we recognized that 9 days ago. As you've been looking through the news, maybe watching Facebook, seeing different things going on, maybe you've been aware of the sacrifices that police officers are willing to make. And what a blessing they are to us. And along with them, firefighters and EMTs and on the list could go. Of those people who sacrifice for us, and they bless us. Their sacrifice is not gone unnoticed, I hope, in your life and in mine. We also realize as we start thinking about sacrifice that many other people have sacrificed on our behalf as well. We have all sorts of people in our lives that sacrifice. Teachers often sacrifice on our behalf. Medical professionals sacrifice on our behalf. Friends and parents, they sacrifice for you and for me. They're a blessing to us. In fact, the only reason we're here this morning is because of the blessing of sacrifice. We celebrate and remember that our Savior sacrificed for us. Every week we celebrate and remember what He did on our behalf, and we celebrate it from here through an eternity because we have been blessed that greatly by His sacrifice. If you look around at all, it's very evident that there has been blessing after blessing after blessing in our lives because someone else has sacrificed on our behalf. Our lives are better. We've been protected. Our futures are secure because someone sacrificed on our behalf. But how many of us recognize that there is a blessing in being able to sacrifice? To have the opportunity to sacrifice on someone else's behalf is a blessing in and of itself. See, today we're continuing our series, Thankful for the Unthinkable. And as we talk about that this morning, I want you to understand that not only should we be thankful for other people's sacrifice, but we should be thankful that we have the opportunity to sacrifice for others. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus was looking at the cross, and when He looked at it, He recognized that there was a joy in this sacrifice. He saw in the cross a joy. Why? Because He could see past the struggle and to the blessing beyond. And we've been called to follow in His example. We've been called to sacrifice our lives for the sake of others. And there is a blessing in that. And there is a joy in that. And the question is, can you see that? And are you willing to sacrifice for others and enjoy that? Rescue workers had been laboring for over 12 hours at a site where four collapsed residential buildings in China had went down. It was just not too long ago. And they finally discovered a survivor, a three-year-old girl. She's on that stretcher. I know you can't see her very well. Some of the other pictures I could have put up were a little bit more disturbing or graphic, so I didn't want to put them up there, but a three-year-old girl was found. She had survived this collapse. And the reason she had survived this collapse is because she had been wrapped tightly in the arms of her father, her dead father now. I'm probably going to pronounce her name wrong, but I believe it's Wu Nixi. But she was found buried deep in a massive pile of crumbled concrete, where this old building had been poorly constructed, overcrowded, and rain-laden once it stood. The structure had been a home for large numbers of migrant workers who had come in from the Chinese countryside to the urban areas to help meet the demand that they were having as their nation's economy is growing. And most of the workers who came remained impoverished and faced, in fact, federal restrictions on where they could live. And as rescue workers made the discovery of Wu's body, when they finally removed this thick cement pillar to find her father's body draped over her, shielding her from the crushing weight of the building. He was 26 years old, and she only sustained minor injuries, and one of the workers said this. He said, "The child was able to survive entirely thanks to the fact that her dad used his own flesh and blood to prop up a life-saving space for his daughter." And we look at the picture or we hear the story and we can all see the blessing that Wu experienced. This blessing that provided her life. This sacrificial embrace of her father. But do we see the blessing that I'm sure her father experienced? As a parent, I can attest that I would consider it a blessing to be able to trade my life for the life of my daughters or the life of my granddaughters. To know they still had the opportunity to live and to shine in the world would be a joy to me. And I'm sure if you're a parent or a grandparent, you would feel the same. See, this morning I want you to find the joy of sacrificing for others. Remember the description of Jesus' own sacrifice in Mark chapter 10. He says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We have been called to a life of sacrifice. Every Christian has been called to sacrifice. And it's more than just a command, and it's more than just a journey. It is a blessing to be able to sacrifice for others. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, what are those blessings? Because I sure don't like sacrificing. Where is the joy? Well, for that, I want to look at some passages of Scripture. They're all found in the New Testament, so if you want to open your Bible, stand in the New Testament. We'll be there here for the rest of the service. But in Romans chapter 14, verses 19 through 21, this is what it says. This is where I want to start. It says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall." Now I want to start off here. Paul is talking here and he is really using food and drink just as examples. Examples of something that we all need to be reminded of in the church. And that is this. We should be willing to sacrifice our freedom because we've been blessed with love. We should be willing to sacrifice freedom because we've been blessed with love. See, we're willing to sacrifice our desires and our freedoms and our wants for the sake of those that are in our family of faith. We sacrifice. We could participate in some things, but we won't. Because we know that participating in those things would cause our brothers and sisters to stumble, to have a struggle. So we sacrifice them. And we're blessed because we have a faith family to lean on. Now that's a hard concept to grab hold of because the truth is, in our society, we like to fight over our, quote, rights. You can't tell me what to do. You can't stop me from participating in this or that. You can't keep me from the freedom I have. But the truth is, in the church, That's exactly what we should do. Now, Paul's not saying to have someone else have dominion over your freedoms. What he's actually saying is that you and I need to have dominion over our freedoms. We need to love others enough to abstain on our own. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Have we got to the point that we understand that the sacrifice of our freedoms is a blessing because we are here with a family of faith? Mark Damas is the preacher of the Mosaic Church of Central Arkansas. He's very passionate about building a multi-ethnic and multi-economically diverse church. And in his book, Building a Healthy Multi-Ethnic Church, Damas stresses the church, especially in America, ought to reflect the many colors and cultures that dot our landscape. He says diversity requires that. And it's not an easy task. He says, nonetheless, and I want you to listen to this, nonetheless, the church ought to be a place in which people are comfortable being uncomfortable. And when I read that, that struck me. We need to be a place where we are comfortable being uncomfortable. It's a challenge to me. Can I give up my wants? Can I give up my desires? Can I give up my freedoms for my faith family? I can when I realize your love is a greater joy to me than exercising my freedoms. We need to be willing to sacrifice freedom because we've been blessed with love. That's the first thing. The second thing starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. You may not like this one very much. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." Now, I don't know about you, but this scripture hits me where I live. Because this scripture really calls for us to sacrifice our finances so that we can be blessed with kingdom growth. He tells us, sacrifice finances so you can be blessed with kingdom growth. In fact, Paul tells us that your finances and mine are a gift from God, and they're to be used to make a difference in the family of God, not just in providing for the family, which they should, but for promoting the family, enlarging the family, encouraging others to join the family. Is that how you look at your money? Isn't that, in fact, quite the opposite of how we look at our money? And that's how we call it, our money, my money, your money. So often we look at our money as a right. Hey, you know, this is my safety net for the future. You mean God's not? God's not the safety net. The bank account is. Wait, I've saved this up so that I can do this or that or this other thing. Oh, okay. But what about the person down the street who's struggling? What about the person you passed by that you know needed some help? See, have we allowed money to take such a place in our lives that we have turned a blind eye to the plight of those around us, all those that are hurting? I find it interesting. God calls us to drink from the living spring. But he doesn't just call us to drink from the living spring so that we can get our fill. But he calls us to drink from it so that we can fill others. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." God has constantly, continuously told us over and over and over again, "I want you to use the resources I've given to you to make someone else's life better. You are a conduit of blessing. You're not a reservoir. You're not a reservoir." Oops, flip my paper over. A suburban Chicago woman was left stunned over the summer when one of her patrons left her a combined tip of over 1,000%. Nicole Thompson, a teacher who worked a second job as a bartender to help pay the bills, received two separate tips by the same person. One was for $500 and the second was for $1,000. "I can't take this," she said. And the man leaving the tip said, "Oh, yes, you can." And she related that this generous man was the boss of a friend of hers, and he had heard that she was working two jobs so that she could pay her bills, and he thought to himself, "She deserves it." She said after receiving these tips, the rest of the day, she felt different. This is what she said: "I felt like, what's happening here? I never anticipated this." In fact, the owner of the restaurant publicly thanked the man, saying, "Although I've never met you, your act of kindness is inspiring. The surprising generosity of one man has made national news and has likely impacted one woman's life significantly." Now, perhaps a good question to be asked then is, why don't we hear more stories about the overwhelming generosity of Christians? Why don't we hear more stories about Christians being so generous that people were taken back and inspired and overwhelmed? When will we selfishly sacrifice our finances for the kingdom? What day is that? What year is that? Is it when you're starting out and you just can't seem to get enough money together to do all the things you want to do as a family? Or is it when you're halfway through life and you think, "Well, I've got a good job, but really I need to save for my retirement because it's coming up quick"? Or is it when you retire and you think, "Well, now I'm on a fixed income"? When is it that we say the kingdom is more important than me? We sacrifice finance because we want to bless. We've been blessed with the kingdom and we want to bless others with it as well. We overflow with joy when we see people come to Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Mark chapter 8. "Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?'" These two verses lead me to my last sacrifice that I want to talk about, and that is the sacrifice of self. And we sacrifice self because we have been blessed with life. We've been blessed with life, real life, enjoyable life, abundant life. In a world where we do everything to get recognition, to stand out, to be seen, God calls us. He says, "Crucify yourself. Lose your very identity in me so that I can set you free to truly live. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but that's the call. How can I find fulfillment and peace and purpose in denying myself? But that's exactly how you find it, by denying yourself. That's exactly the call of Christ, to deny yourself. To deny yourself. Philip Yancey, not so long ago, tore the, and I'm going to say this wrong, Yang Wang Jin Foreign Missionary Cemetery. It was built to honor 145 missionaries in South Korea. All of the missionaries died in their adopted country. Now Yancey writes this. He says, some of the gravestones date back more than 100 years, and the caretakers have added stainless steel plaques to recount the stories of the missionaries buried there. Some faced persecution for leading protest against the brutal Japanese colonial rule. A couple with the Salvation Army began a long tradition of caring for Korean orphans. A scholarly Presbyterian contributed greatly to the Korean translation of the Bible. Two women pioneered education for girls by founding schools and ultimately a woman's university. But he says, my favorite story is of S.F. Moore, who gave medical treatment to a butcher deathly ill with typhoid fever. The butcher survived and became a Christian, only to find out that no church would admit him because in Korea, their rigid class system scorns butchers because they deal with dead things. So he was the lowest social class. So Mr. Moore organized a butcher's church for outcasts and social underdogs. And after doing all of this for this man, who was fighting typhoid fever, Moore himself died of typhoid fever at the age of 46. Now, Philip Yancey continued. He said, each plaque spelled out hardship of men and women buried there. Many of the missionaries also lost children buried in small graves beside them. Yet the fruit of their work lives on in schools and libraries, hospitals and church buildings, dotting the landscape of modern South Korea. In fact, he says, South Korea has been unusually receptive to the Christian message. 30% of South Koreans identify as Christians. Now, you might be asking yourself, why would you talk about a graveyard when you're talking about being blessed with life? You're talking about dead folks in a graveyard. Well, am I? Am I really talking about dead folks in a graveyard? It's true they physically died. That is absolutely true. But Paul tells us to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. In fact, the Lord himself says in John 11 at a funeral, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. When we finally get to the point where we have died to self, then Jesus awakens in us what it means to really live. Not just here, but for an eternity, to really live. To really live. Have you found that in your life? Do you know what it is to really live? In 2009, ESPN aired a story about D'Artagnan Crockett and Leroy Sutton, two high school students in the inner city of Cleveland. Crockett and Sutton were teammates on Lincoln West High School's wrestling team. Crockett, who is legally blind, was often filmed carrying Sutton, a double leg amputee, on his back. The show was produced by Lisa Finn, an ESPN veteran who had done stories on Michael Jordan and Derek Jeter. But when she finished this piece about Crockett and Sutton, she couldn't leave their lives. Finn took it upon herself to help these young men. She raised donations from around the world, coordinated college visits, ensured that these boys were well fed every day. And thanks to her efforts, Crockett became a bronze medalist in judo at the Paralympic Games in London. And Sutton will become the first member of his family to ever graduate from college. Now, after all the media hoopla died down, Leroy Sutton quietly asked her, "Why did you stay?" She said, "I love you." Sutton pressed, "That's what I thought you'd say, but why? Why did you stick around and do everything you did?" And this is what she wrote. She said, "I grew up on the other side of Cleveland, the white side. My parents scrounged up the money for private school to protect me from the public schools and those people. But D'Artagnan and Leroy eased me in graciously. They opened up about their struggles. D'Artagnan, with great eagerness, as I think he had waited his entire life for someone to want to know him. Leroy was emerging more reluctantly. He had been emotionally abandoned too many times before, but both began to believe that perhaps someone genuinely cared about them." And so this is what she said. She said, "I stayed because I would not be the next on a list of people who walked out or over their trust. I stayed because we only get one life and we don't truly live it until we give it away. I stayed because we can change the world only when we enter into another's world. I stayed because I love you." Acts 20, verse 35, the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I guess my challenge to you and to myself is this: will we really sacrifice because we only have one life to give? And that life, it's quick, it's short, and it's flying by. We only have one life to give. We only have one life to make a difference. We only have one life to truly love others. We only have one life to really experience the joy that is found in sacrifice. This coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. I'm sure that my clothes will shrink a little bit more on that day, because I can eat, and there's going to be plenty of food. But I wonder if someone were to ask me on that day, "Are you thankful?" Could I say, "Yes, I'm thankful"? "Well, what are you thankful for?" "Well, I'm thankful for the blessing of sacrifice." Could you say that? "I'm thankful for the blessing of sacrifice." When you go around the table and people are saying what they're thankful for, can you say, "I'm thankful for the blessing of being able to sacrifice"? Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for all that you have blessed us with, and we have been greatly blessed. In fact, if we are here in a building that is climate controlled, and that is a blessing. And we drove in cars that got us here, and that is a blessing. And we were able to get in those seats, and that is a blessing. And we've been able to share life with each other, and that is a blessing. Lord, I pray that before we leave, that we would understand that to truly live, to truly find our joy, we have to deny ourselves, sacrifice. And that is a blessing. When we get to that point, that is a blessing. When we realize that the sacrifice is worth the love that we found in the family, when we realize that the giving is worth the kingdom growth around us, when we realize that our sacrifice changes lives, makes a difference, when we realize that our sacrifice is when we truly live, that is a blessing. I pray each of us here will find that blessing if we haven't already. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.